Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Coke or Pepsi, coffee or tea, super salad. Just a few choices that we make every day with such regularity, we don't even think about it. From the mundane to the important, we choose over and over every day. I don't remember the first choice I ever made, but I remember from my childhood when I was capable of the simple decisions. I don't remember how old I was, but I was old enough to know there were choices that I wanted to make that weren't yet allowed. Now, on the breakfast table stood three, sometimes four, boxes of cereal. Rice Krispies, Cheerios, Corn Flakes, and Wheaties. Which one would it be today? I always wanted the Captain Crunch, and that was never there. During the school year, I could choose between a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a salami sandwich, or hot lunch. What I wanted was to be able to choose my own outfits. Luckily, I was blessed with a mother who knew, if given a choice, I would have gone to school in my tap shoes and a tutu. Not having the freedom to choose as a child kept me safe and honestly saved me from being teased more times than I already was. As fabulous as I thought tap shoes and a tutu were, I would have been laughed at all the way home. Simple examples of simple choices. But as we grow and our choices grow, so do the consequences of those choices. And sometimes our freedom to choose gets tangled up in our desire to be chosen. In eighth grade, I was friends with a girl that the previous year I was scared to death of. She was tough, hung around a bad crowd, and due to her less than great home life, she made bad choices. But when I rode behind her on her horse, and we were away from school, she was kind, and she made me feel chosen. Well, one morning before class, she told me a secret. She made me promise not to tell a soul, and I promised. By lunch, half the school knew her secret, and we ended up nose to nose in a yelling match. I defended myself, and I swore that I didn't break my promise, and I didn't. And I knew one of her burnout friends had betrayed her. My defense didn't matter, and before I knew what was happening, we were in a physical fight. I had never been in trouble at school. Sitting across from the principal trying to explain how I had ended up in front of him sounded as ridiculous to me as it must have sounded to him. I left school that day spared the suspension I could have gotten, and comforted by the fact that I protected myself and I kept my promise. I left school that day proud of the choices I made. Oddly, the girl thought we could still be friends. We could not. I experienced all kinds of growing pains in those days. I was too vulnerable to the opinions of others, and those opinions dictated how I felt about myself. I could have used my freedom to choose to follow her and her crowd. If I were one of them, my whole school experience would have been smoother. Smoother, but not better. I could not have followed them without being a part of them. It is shameful enough that I, for years, was proud of that fight. It kept me safer at school, having the girls know that if crossed, I wouldn't stand there and take it. You see, what I failed to say at the beginning of this story is I threw the first punch. I succumbed to the pressure to save myself embarrassment and further trouble. The new Christians of Galatia are going through the same kind of growing pains. They want to follow Christ, and they want to follow the old laws because doing so will make their life smoother. Smoother, but not better. Paul is trying to remind them that their freedom to choose will have consequences. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. A lot of words to tell these new Christians. Look, the children born of Hagar were Abraham's. The children born to Sarah were Abraham's. Hagar's children were in slavery. And if you new believers use your freedom to choose to follow the old law and submit to the influence of the Judaizers, they would be in slavery. Slavery to the influence of man, not God. An entanglement of choosing instead of and wanting to feel chosen by the wrong crowd. Now you brothers like Isaac are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Today's title in our series on Galatians should say freedom to choose. But it is also just as much about covenants. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he did not break it. God never breaks a covenant. God has promised an inheritance, and he will not break that promise. But whether we choose that is up to us. Paul has been imprisoned and abused for choosing the New Jerusalem, meaning eternal life in Jesus Christ. He knows firsthand, by experience, the persecution heaped on the new believers. But he does not waver. He fully understands he is a child of the promise, God's child. And it is more important to him than the suffering put on him by man. He fully understands the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the freedom that holds for himself and all who believe. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Back in the first paragraph of this sermon, I said, from the mundane to the important, we choose over and over every day. Every person in this room chose to be here today. You chose God today. But will you choose God tomorrow? Before you say to yourself, of course I'll choose God tomorrow. I'm a Christian, and I made a promise of choosing Him and following His Son when I was confirmed as a teenager, or when I was baptized, or when I formally joined the church. I have never wavered on this. Really. Think on this. We are blessed to live in a time where we will not be persecuted by Judaizers for being Christians. We don't have to choose between some old law and a new promise. But societal pressure just changes. It doesn't disappear. It's easy to fall prey to what has become the norm. Well, do what our neighbors are doing and life will be smoother. It's okay to miss church today because the kids have a game. It's okay to miss church today because we're on vacation. It's okay to not speak up when ugly slurs are spoken about people who are different, because my opinion is usually in the minority anyway. It's okay to let the kids stay home from church today. I don't want to force religion on them. I want them to make their own decisions. Besides, none of their friends go to church. I wouldn't want them to feel different. Get the drift? Before I go further, Pastor Paul sent me an email this week with a question for you. Of course, I didn't know at the time. It's also in your bulletin. So how do I go about inviting a friend to service? The first two steps to inviting a friend are, number one, pray for those God wants you to invite to be a guest in church. Pray for the opportunity to arise to invite them to church. Write down in the notes section of your bulletin three names of people you would like to have in church on Rally Sunday, Bring a Friend to Church Potluck Day. That's a tall order. Think about it. Three people? Every single one of us? I stand before you and shamefully admit it is easier for me to public speak and share with you the shortcomings of my life than to invite someone to church. Unlike the little girl who would have gone to school in her tap shoes and a tutu, unafraid of the consequences, the adult in front of you is afraid to be told no. I'm sure some of you receive the bulletins from Josie, who is a part of the old Campus Crusade for Christ at University of Michigan. They call it CRU now. And she had some mission stories from a trip that they have taken this summer. And one of the questions asked to one of the missionaries is, how did you see God at work? I personally got to share with a Hindu atheist girl about her worth. The thought that she had immeasurable worth and there was an almighty God that loved her just because of who she is was almost too much for her to take in at once. She left saying, "This changes my entire life forever." Why can't I do that? Like the Galatians, my first thought is to use my freedom to choose the easy way, the way that will be smoother. but it would not be better. To do that is to waver. Pray for me, please. To witness and invite are my two biggest obstacles. I choose God today, and I want to be able to choose God every day in every way. Every one of us that has become a member has said when it is the time, we rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our witness. If I can't, and you can't, we are undeserving of the inheritance that God has promised. God doesn't break a promise. We have the freedom to choose whether to be the enslaved children of Hagar or the children born out of promise. Amen.